go 3, 2, 1.
Good evening. We're going to call the Clean Water Commission meeting to order Wednesday, March 2nd, 2016 at 6:32 p.m. Good evening. We shall do a roll call. The sign-in sheet should be going around. If you haven't signed in, please do so. So we shall make the rounds. We have two new members with us this evening, so this will be the first time they've had a chance to sign in. So Holly Norris.
Hello.
Present?
Yes.
Mark Schneider? By phone?
Hello, yes, I'm here.
David Meyer?
Here.
David McDevitt?
Here.
Marie Lamana? Jeremy Burnett, a new member?
Present.
Kate Hsu? And Gary Schaefer was the only one who's currently missing. And Dick Reinhager, I am here. So, one missing. On your agenda this evening, if you'll note, the packet information we walked through, review and approve the meeting minutes from last meeting, go through any public comments, and as you can see for this evening's agenda, Dean's going to spend a few minutes on the stormwater management plan, give you just a quick feedback on our presentation to county councilors on last year's report. We'll talk about the PowerPoint presentation, possible clean water presentations, training session, and one other item that's in your packet is a chart. And based on everybody going to the Google site, Holly did get a chance because she just got her signed up the other day. And the only other one that was blank was Gary because he never went on to fill it out. So we'll walk through that as well as to the assignments based on your first and second preference choices. We'll have some commission discussion time, wrap up with some more public comments, and we will be done by 8:30 at the latest. Okay? So, first action item then is to review the meeting notes from the last meeting. Those are in your packet. So if you would take a moment and review those notes. See if we have any changes, additions, or modifications.
I just got one spelling error on Kate's name.
Top members present?
Oh, yeah.
So K-A-I-T would be a spelling error.
That's a spelling error.
All right.
No.
Thank you. And for the record, joining is Commissioner Schaefer.
Here we go.
All right. Any other corrections, changes, modifications to the meeting minutes? Motion to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? No discussion? All in favor?
Who did the motion to approve?
Motion to approve is David Meyer. Seconded by David McDevitt.
Thank you.
The two D's. All right, so the meeting notes from previous meeting are now approved. Since this is sort of a little addition, the sheet, the colored sheet, which I made up and printed out for you today, was the document that was on the Google site where I asked everybody to go in and indicate your first and second choices as far as group. You can see what was filled out, so the number ones, the number twos were what you guys put in. So I did my very best to attempt to accommodate all number ones wherever possible. Now, some minor requirements here since Commissioner Norris was brand new to it. She gets plugged in, so, and Commissioner Burnett, second to do it, so your first preference is to existing members, if that's your point. So, just for the record, for the communications group, Commissioners Burnett, McDevitt, and Lamana, at this point, that doesn't mean that others can't join in and assist in giving presentations, but just sort of as a core group, if that's acceptable. So
from the research side, Commissioner Shoup, Snyder, and Meyer. I'll get it right. I'll try not to be And then on the partnership group will be Commissioners Schaefer, Reitinger, and Norris. If that's acceptable to everyone. And then collectively, each of the three groups can sort of pick a lead person to coordinate. And just let me know who that is. And then if everybody would make a race between now and certainly the next meeting or whatever is appropriate for the timing to kind of define what you think your mission objectives are and what you think types of things you're going to try to do as the year proceeds. Questions? No? Okay. So, looking at the audience, we do have one guest. Does our guest care to make public comments at all? Is he? Nope. Seeing no other members of the public in attendance to make comments, then we will close the first public comment session. So we'll move to item agenda number 3, presentation, discussion, and recommendations and actions. And we'll turn this over to Mr. Benning for a presentation on the stormwater management plan.
Okay, thank you. Presentation might be a little too strong a word. But
okay.
Because so many of you, I'm not sure if all of you are new since the last time this was brought to the, this body, but every year we update our stormwater management plan. This is basically the Clean Water Division's Bible, and it outlines all of our sort of segmented programs, what we focus on, and I really like this plan because at the very end of each chapter it gives the actual target person in my division that is the lead for that. So if you have any questions, you can call them. They're kind of the expert on infrastructure, for instance, at outreach. We have a point of contact at the end that's sort of our lead person. But it's really lined out very nice, and it really gives a good overview of what we do, what we're focused on. So in case you didn't know that this document even existed, I wanted to bring to your attention, we do have it posted on the website. But this is our newest update we just completed last week. So I wanted to just pass this around just as an example copy, but again, you can get it online. So feel free to kind of leaf through it and see what that's about. If you have any questions, I can answer them at the end. That's really all I had.
So at that point, I have a link to the online document that appears to be on our agenda.
Yes. I wasn't sure I wanted to call that out because it was broken last time I tried it.
Yeah,
it's super. Yeah, good.
So I do have a question. I was really encouraged to read the article in the Columbian this last week about the watershed studies and the health studies.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Very encouraging because that, for us, that was kind of the basis for the stormwater discussion at the end last year. So was that new project, is that reflected in here?
That's in the document, not the, we haven't updated it since this article came out, but it's alluded to in there. The last update, of course, we didn't do much with it. We didn't say we weren't monitoring. For those of you who don't know, basically we had, this is the last document we produced on the stream health report on Clark County streams. And this was a very comprehensive effort. This is a beautiful document that, again, I'll pass around and have you look at. But you can see it was produced at, wasn't too inexpensive to produce this. But it gives just a great overview of the 10 watersheds that we have in Clark County and our sampling efforts, contaminants of concern. You can see it's kind of coded really in a user-friendly way. Red is bad, and other colors are different degrees of good or fair. So, and this can be found online as well. But this report. Unfortunately, this is the last report we produced, and then there were some budgetary decisions made where, unfortunately, as our kind of our apex program, this had to be dissolved. And it was always, I think, temporarily
suspended.
Thank you, like a presidential run, suspended. And so I've been working since day one to try to get this back. I'm, really, we have no other way of knowing how effective our outreach programs are, our capital improvements are, if we don't know what, you know, if the streams are improving or not. Now, it's not a direct measure, but we really have nothing right now. And but I'll pass this around as well. We're very excited about that. Just those of you who don't know, it's 10 watersheds that we sampled last time out. We had 52, 54 sample sites, so we didn't go to the same place in each watershed. We went to different places in the watershed and kind of collectively came up with this report card on each stream, each sub-watershed. So, again, that's coming around, too.
So, to be clear, though, the permit does not require that this be done, but there was a significant history, a significant amount of material and information. And so, is there? Can you give us some idea of the approximate cost of reinstituting?
Well, yes, and that's one thing I kind of got my arms around first and foremost when I got here. And this sort of has something to do with your inquiry last time, Gary, about testing for other analytes, testing for PCBs, things like that. What I didn't make clear last time is within the permit, we are required to do outfall monitoring. That is ecology mandated. We only have two outfall sample locations. But
please, what is outfall sampling?
Like basically where stormwater emerges from a stormwater system and spills into a surface water. So at that point, as it exits the stormwater system, before it hits a stream, for instance, we take samples. And so it's a direct measure of storm water, not stream water. So ecology wanted us to do that because they wanted just to measure storm water. And the downside of that was we only had two sample locations. The upside for some is that there was a huge panel of analytes for that, including all kinds of organic and inorganic contaminants, metals, PCBs. And I'll tell you, the price tag for that for 2015 was $129,000. And that was largely analytical costs. So it was just a massive cost for us. And so when you hold that up against what this program costs, because we already have the sample locations there, some of them have to be upgraded a little bit, we already have the personnel to do this, we have the instrumentation to do all this, was an additional $50,000. So the good news, too, going back to the outfall monitoring, ecology seems to be leaning strongly toward, in our 2018 permit, taking that out as a permit requirement. They did it with the other phase ones up in Puget Sound. Right now, it's just of the phase one size communities, we're the only one that still does the outfall monitoring. Everybody else has stopped doing it. Ecology's allowed them to do that. So I think they're sort of leaning that way for us. And so that's $129,000 savings. So really, we net when we change out that sampling with something that's a bit more understandable and something that, frankly, this got all kinds of state recognition. And this report came out. And people, in those days, at least knew Clark County as being a county that really did a great job, great report, got a lot of community interest. So we're enthused on many levels to have this back. I really think it's meaningful.
Thank you. Because one item that is not on the agenda, and I need myself to know that I'm going to skip past it, is we do have two new commission members who've just joined. This is their first meeting. So what I would like to do is kind of take a couple of minutes and ask them to introduce themselves briefly, and then I will let the rest of you, we'll start with Gary after that, circle the table, and you can say something briefly about yourself, background that you might want to share with our new commission members. So we'll start over here with Jeremy. Jeremy, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name's Jeremy Hernett, and My background is mechanical engineering. I've had some experience in industry in terms of Georgia Pacific, project engineering side of things, and now I'm in a more technical side with a company called CTL out of Beaverton, and we provide electronic technology to education, Chromebooks, laptops, desktops. Work on a lot of projects with K-12 groups, so I lead the technical group there as well as the production group and product recommendations.
Super, welcome.
Thank you.
Holly?
Hello, I'm Holly Marth. I'm a 32-year-old professional marketer for the last 5 years. I attend Clark, briefly was a host to transfer to WSU for a environmental science degree. When the economy made it hard for all of us to kind of pay our bills, I seek back seat. So I'll just keep my eyes open for something that I can be a source to in the environment.
Gary Shaker, I spent my career as a Boeing mechanical engineer, but most of the time also was in customer services going on. One of the things that attracted me to join this commission is I've always, you know, I have four children, I've always been concerned about what kind of a world we're living for children. And, you know, clean water is essential. I mean, it's the core of what our civilization goes on as far as being able to survive. And I see a lot of, I've been seeing a lot of things going on that have bothered me about the where we're going, and the things that are entering our environment and projections of our children having a considerably lower lifespan than we do, these kind of things. And so I wanted to find out more and see what I, you know, work more and work towards whatever I could do to feel good in myself that I've done what I can do to help my children and grandchildren and have the environment that we can overcome. And so that's what it's great to be on this
commission. Gary, you've been with the Clean Water Commission for approximately how long now?
I started in February of 2014.
Okay.
You say Maine did.
About 2 years, just a little over 2 years.
Yeah. But anyway, that is the reason I'm sitting here and what I'm doing is because I really think that we all have a responsibility to do what we can to ensure our children.
Super, thank you. David.
David, most of my career was in business and in financial analysis, budgeting with a big number of billions of dollars. And I transitioned from there. I was doing software development management and then later transitioned again and now a licensed attorney, but I'm here. So I was looking for an opportunity to participate and to contribute within the community. And this looked like a viable, reasonable, non-partisan kind of an activity, and one that we can all agree on, that clean water is essential to our environment, to promoting marine life, to saving the environment for our kids. And I started participating last July 1st.
Okay.
But,
you
know,
thank you. Marie?
I'm Dave Meyer, and I'm moving in my third term on the board, joined So I've been involved in environmental science and sustainability consulting for the better part of my career over 2 years. My background is pretty deep in hydrology, soil science, and soil water management. It's like now for a consulting company, not in the world. Also had an opportunity to do something similar to this when I was down in San Diego. There's a partnership with a lot of work as a member of the Metropolitan Planning Council representing them, one of the largest watersheds in San Diego County. So I was really driven, kind of attracted to what the board was doing here, what the commission was doing, and in the past year was helping to support the development of the stormwater city and get that along. So that's one of those technologies that kind of deep science piece on the panel here. And I look forward to working with the two of you.
I graduated from Washington University with a bachelor's in environmental ecology. Since then, I have actually been more in outreach and marketing. I'm currently in marketing, so not quite in my field, but it's really actually can do something else in my field that I'm passionate about. but yeah, I like doing that and volunteering for things like chart capturing.
And you have another role with the commission?
I do, yeah. I've been with the commission since May of last year, which I think I'm one of the oldest now too. But now I'm vice chair of the commission, so very
good. And of course, we met, so
yeah.
I told you about me, so that's all there is to it. Anyways, and then of course on the phone, can he hear us and talk? Mark Schneider? Or not?
Still on. Try again.
Hello? Mark, can you hear us?
He heard me push the button.
No. Oh, he's been testing.
Well,
he'll call back.
Okay. So, but Jeremy knows Mark. So, why don't you substitute and be Mark for a moment?
Let's see. Many moons ago, that's where I met Mark, was at George Pacific.
Should I hang it up? I'm sorry.
It's a conference line.
Yeah, we're on.
Yeah, so
you'll call back.
So I don't know why. Unless it's not muted anymore. Yeah, it's actually working. So you don't have to.
Yeah, he couldn't hear us. We could hear him.
I'll hang up. And if he comes back and can't hear us, then I'll call back.
So
I'm Mark's a chemical engineer background, paper master extraordinaire in terms of producing paper worldwide probably. And he was one of the, I think at the time, assistant manager for the mill out there towards Wana, which is out towards Astoria. He spent many decades, I think, in the paper industry, which included the chemist mill here. Washington, and since then he's moved on to doing different projects in the nation and worldwide with paper and chemical startups. So he's very passionate about responsibleness in business and chemical use. Very versed in the technical side of things, all things chemical.
Thank you for coming in. And just a side note, Mark apparently just had to have some surgery.
Yeah, he broke there is a. Attached his retina,
and so had his surgery just very recently. So he's traveling after having done that. So.
Yeah, they had to drive because with the air, he was telling me last night with the gas bubble they put in there to help reattach it to fly because of the
pressure
and volume. And,
yeah, so I figured he must have driven not flown.
Yeah.
So
another 2 weeks, I guess.
Well, Mr. Chairman, before you start, I just want to ask a question.
Sure.
How does this manual relate to stormwater?
It's completely separate. I mean, this is more of a on the ground sort of, here's what we do. It's sort of just guides our everyday kind of activities. So that's why it's smaller. It's kind of more tailored than the other.
The other one is basically compliance with the regulations, and this is more of a daily activity, law of our other cloud. Action plan
based on our mission. Yeah, so it's more of a local plan.
This would be operational, almost.
Operational,
and
exactly.
Yeah, policy.
Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah, the storm water manual is actually not only just policy, but it's a manual for developers and people doing construction. It's
for compliance, right?
Yes, for compliance, and it's a very nuts and bolts. It's actually. The bulk of it is consistent with the Washington State Stormwater Manual. In fact, we have to comply with that.
Policy and code.
Policy and code.
This is an organizational objective and action plan together with the code and the...
Nuts and bolts.
Yeah.
Yeah, the nuts and bolts. Yeah.
Yes.
Or does this make it work?
Yeah. We get to do this. We have to do the other. Yeah.
Okay, so annual report. So we had an opportunity. We had about 30 minutes with the county councilors. Sort of. Yes, two of the five county councilors actually were in attendance that morning. So who knows what very reasons. Actually, Councilor Olson was in Hawaii on vacation. Councillor Milkey was somewhere.
Here. Right, the seat.
No, the Medora was.
No,
the Medora was, that's right.
Medora
yeah.
was.
Yeah, Milkey was
somewhere.
We didn't know yet where he was.
And yeah. Commissioner Councillor Stewart was somewhere. So we did have two of them.
What about
Medora were the two.
Council Chair Bolt.
So, and so really, it went fairly fast. We just sort of walked through the document, and there really were no questions or no comments or no observations. And they thanked us for our participation and involvement, and we went merrily on our way.
You know, Murray, I really appreciate all the work you do. I'd love to get a service advance. Because new you have been in this group, for you to come out and do such a bang up job right out of the gate was awesome. Thank you so much.
But she clearly knows how to write that stuff. I appreciate it because I make up my own words. So. Okay, so am I missing anything in the report? Dean was there as well. That was just pretty straightforward.
Yeah. Yep.
Nothing special, but they did thank us and so forth. And I have no idea where they actually read it, but nonetheless, they at least the two of them. Thank you.
Yeah.
So. So the PowerPoint presentation, the last meeting we had a discussion and there was some thought that there may have been some revisions to the PowerPoint presentation with some of the content of the body moved into the notes, etc. And I've been informed that the presentation which is on our Google site is in essence the correct presentation.
Yeah.
So with no notable changes at all. So for the presentation outreach team, the slide presentation on Google site is what is indicated for use at this particular point in time. Now, I guess if there are any suggestions as we go along for refinements and improvements, then of course we should feed those through the department to make sure that they can be addressed. One of the other things relative to the presentation group that I'd like to propose, and I can share what I put together about a year ago. Following all presentations, we do want to make sure that there is a record of the presentation with sort of approximate information on who, what group, when, how many people, and make sure that we are recording any relevant questions, and we get that turned in so that there is a follow-up process back through to the group. So we do want to keep track of those types of things. I put something preliminary together. I'm happy to share that. You develop your own. But I would like to make sure that I'll put it to the doctor so that
She'll fix it.
if we could make sure that we're given notice, because it's likely that I would probably attend just to listen.
One of the past concerns with past Clean Water Commission groups is that in some of the presentations, sometimes people got a little, they stepped outside the boundaries and either gave some incorrect information or incomplete that wasn't followed. So at that stage, the department initially had said they would like to make sure that an employee is in attendance at the presentation to make sure that we get it down right and that there is going to be followed and support. So just keep that in mind as you work through.
In terms of the PowerPoint that's on the Google site right now, you're free to do whatever you wish with that, too. It's not like county property or anything. You do whatever you like with it for whatever presentation you might have upcoming. It doesn't have to, you don't have to run it through us. Okay, we don't have to make the changes.
We just want to make sure that everything is accurate, et cetera. And that presentation group may also want to figure or look at the possibility of maybe a slide or two specifically relative to the particular group you're presenting to. Sometimes there may be something that's particular. You can work through all those. So other than that, there was really nothing else on the PowerPoint presentation that I'm aware of. Anybody else? Okay. The next item on the agenda is possible Clean Water Commission presentation to neighborhood associations. And Dean, would you like to comment on that?
Yes, well, a communications group specifically, I took the liberty of contacting the current lead, this neighborhood, I always get the name wrong, but Neighborhood Associations Council of Clark County, I may even have that wrong, but NAC for short. I was sort of asking around to folks here in the county who've been here a while, in particular our PIO. She turned out to be the temporary chair for this body because the past chair had left, and they're in fact in the process of interviewing for the new head, a new chair for that group. But she said really that this group would be probably the best, kind of the pointy tip of the spear, because all of the folks in terms of general public outreach that we want to hit, you know, throwing the net out as wide as possible to hit these groups, and because you have various neighborhood associations from different places in the county, you have realtors, a particularly curious group about specifically low impact development technology and what's ahead. So it's really a group I think that where you'd have their listening ear, and you're sort of hitting all of them at once. And what I see possibly happening from this is, after a presentation is made to this body, then a lot of the smaller neighborhood associations might want the communications group to come out and just talk to their associations. So I really see this as a kind of a logical starting point. I wasn't too bold. We were actually, I was asked if we wanted to be on the March 14th agenda. I said, well, that's maybe a little hurried. Unfortunately, Councillor Bolt is going to be on that agenda, but...
Are you talking about the neighborhood leadership of meetings where all the presidents and the officers of the neighborhood association meet? Is that what you're talking about?
They meet at the
police station there on the
They meet at the Clark County Public Works Ops Center on 78th Street. That's their regular meeting.
Okay.
Second Monday of each month.
And this is the presidents and the leadership of the neighborhood association.
Exactly.
Okay, so they've been okay. Right.
Yeah.
And other stakeholders.
There's some other stakeholders there. I don't have a good...
It's not a closed meeting. Anybody can go to it.
Yeah.
But it's primarily for the neighborhood association leadership to get together and discuss the issues.
Mm-hmm.
Invite people to present the name, invite the sheriff and all kinds of other people in there to talk about. But yeah, that is the right start for
good.
Once the leadership's on board, it's a lot easier.
Yeah. So we've, as a division, we've been out talking to developers and builders, and we've been kind of helping them understand better our new manual and some of the specifications in the manual. So again, we're hitting that group. We've got some good education outreach folks for the schools and that kind of thing. So this general public outreach, as I mentioned before, is really where we could really use the help with outreach. So, but anyway, I'll pass this around. This is the March agenda for that group, and we are tentatively, I don't want to get too ahead of you here, but we are tentatively scheduled for April 11th to present at this meeting. And so I don't want to force the issue. If you want to have it delayed another month, we can do that, but we're getting some inertia here.
Relatively small neighborhoods, and each neighborhood has its own little president, secretary, and so forth. And they have a spreadsheet that has all the contact information. Well, those are the people that would be attending this meeting.
They also have a city of Vancouver has a website.
Isn't this on a four neighborhood association
within unincorporated? This would be for unincorporated Clark County.
This is only unincorporated.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah.
So there's City of Vancouver and then there's unincorporated.
And City of Camas and City of Albion. Yeah. So there might be some crossover with some cities. We might have some city folks there. But this is built to be unincorporated county, which is what we're...
Are the unincorporated Clark County neighborhood associations part of the...
I don't know.
Okay,
I mean, this is new to me.
This is two separate organizations. One is the city organizations, and the other one is the unincorporated.
Right. Because we're concerned here with Clark County waters, right? I mean, we actually can't, by jurisdiction, move into cities with our programs. They have their own infrastructure, their own programs, so.
Okay. Well, we're talking about a public information program, all right?
Yeah.
So to that point, any group who wanted to listen, I expect, could listen.
Sure.
Although the focus on active outreach would be not necessarily to the city group, to run a program.
Okay.
So I'm
just trying to get on board with who we're talking about.
Talking about all neighborhood associations are just county, thankful for your cross-county
neighborhood associations, which tend to be likely populated and bigger.
Just, I
just
noticed actually looking at the chair, co-chair, site, someone there, and so,
yes.
I heard that he was.
You are the only participant in the conference.
It might be well worthwhile to reach out to him prior to the meeting and just get some of the assessments and expectations of what the best approach might be.
He attended every one of our 2014 meetings, not so much 2015, and now.
I'm not sure the reason why I didn't know Mr. Stokes because he left before we joined, and I just thought it might be a good idea.
He's very passionate.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
making a presentation, he's got a lot of power. Making a presentation for it might be something that.
With presentations,
you can. You know, he would bring up something that might. Challenge what you're saying.
Oh, he's very nice. I met him once at another meeting. He introduced himself. I didn't know that he was in that position with this group, but I think that's a great suggestion. I know Mary Keltz, our PIO, has already talked to him, said that we've got, so he's aware of it, but maybe someone from Clean Water Commission,
hey, presentation
might be good.
Reach out to touch.
Second Monday of every month, so I think the second is the 11th. Second, yeah, April 11th. Same time and place as what was on the handout.
Okay. Anything else on that topic?
That's when they're scheduled.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about training a little bit. Last year, for EarlCast, we were trying to target 15 or 20 minutes at each of the Clean Water Commission meetings on some training about stormwater, clean water, just different aspects, just kind of keep us fresh, keep us up. I guess my question is, would you like to continue doing that, moving forward? And if you are interested, then we can either work something out so that one or several of us does a session, or we can perhaps work with, hopefully, being in the department for some sort of a session. I'm not looking into a long-winded, but like we had done last year for several meetings. So 15, 20 minutes on something that's significantly relevant to the space. So I want to just find out whether that was really something you were interested in. Because if you're not, we won't do it at all. I want to just look at it. Comment?
Well, I think it's a good idea. Because, from a technology and science perspective, there's always new technologies that are being advanced to reduce the impact of stormwater systems. That just helps us understand and visualize what sort of technology is doing. Mm-hmm. So we just toggle around that. We toggle around some regulatory framework that some regulated entities, be it industrial entities versus farms,
hey, Mark?
Various different types
of
stakeholders in the county have to deal with that. This is a kind of 50,000 foot flyover on some of these things. Just to help us as members of the commission, just get
a microphone or something.
Well, I think another thing with the drink is get micromanaging, stop the soils, things like that. We're the right hand, and the department is the left hand, and keeps us in sync. You know, we know what we're doing, they know what we're doing, and that's the communication.
All right, try this.
But there also has a little question.
Yeah, the speakerphone on this doesn't seem to work very well.
But it seems to be, the microphone seems to be muted.
Yeah, because of the speaker.
Stupid question, maybe, but those kind of issues, how does that change the impact of the assumptions we made, and
all right, I'll just call it myself. That works
now for fees and the other things and other recommendations.
Yeah.
If I have some training, we have a better idea of whether we're correct on our assumptions or not.
Okay.
So,
all right,
that's you.
Okay.
To extend right here on the comments about framing.
So are we out?
I think it's appropriate, and Dean, this is very cutting.
He already got out.
It would be appropriate.
Okay. He said this item up for whatever presentation.
For example, to be trained with respect to what we need to present when we go out and act as the face of the agency and make a presentation to a public body, such as the Neighborhood Association. And if we have the sort of a train the trainer, if you will.
Right.
And that would be entirely beneficial for us, I think, that we would go out and be able to spread the word and set some objectives for people in the public so that they know what is expected of them. And I saw several comments in this document and others addressing that question, what can we do to and so those would be beneficial as well.
And maybe there are almost, I don't know how many, it's a handful or two of things most commonly expected to come up during any sort of discussion could be fully prepped to be able to answer those common questions.
Sure.
So that with could benefit all of us no matter what the situation might be. But
Susan Rasmussen brought in some history data out. When they had, what was it, 1997 or...
Well, 99,
2000. 99, 2000. What came up? What was it? And there was a lot of the same questions came up at every meeting. And maybe that is one thing that we can bring back.
Pull some of those pieces out.
And pull those pieces back out because, you know, if you have recurring questions from different groups, or from different groups, we might be able to expect the same kind
sure.
of questions.
Sure. Mm-hmm. How much training in preparation for the next permit, which is still
2018,
two years away.
Yeah.
I guess I'd like to explore what it is that this group needs to make sure that we're fully cognizant of and aware relative to not just the permit but the future permit and or changes relative to that, things that we want to make sure that we're well grounded in.
Yeah.
It sounds to me like there is some opportunity to put together some training sessions.
With respect to the permit, I'm gonna go out on a limb and suggest that Joe and Jane public probably don't have as much concern about the aggregate details of the permit process and requirements and all those things. My gut sense is that they're concerned about what the really high-level objective umbrella view is, and then what can they do to help achieve what's necessary in very simple terms. I'm thinking about presentations that could be anywhere from 15 minutes to 30 minutes. And based on our conversations here over the last 8 months, my gut sense is that we go into much more detail than they really want to know about in 15 minutes or 30 minutes. And so we need to boil it down to something very, very simple.
Well, follow that KISS
rule. Follow that KISS rule, you know. Yeah.
Well, to your point, I think probably most people want to understand what the impact on them is going to be of any sets of rules or regulations. How's that going to affect them by backyard?
Well, I think they're also going to wonder, why am I paying a stormwater fee?
And why am I going to be asked to pay more in the future?
Exactly.
Well, yeah. And that, you're in a perfect position of saying, well, let me jot that down and that's one of those you can volley back to us,
well,
and not even.
Yeah.
But
can the first answer, we'll be prepared to answer.
That's right.
Yeah, and I don't know how the training piece looked before when we had things like that. What I was envisioning was actually, even if it's of interest, even having, I mean, if you look at our stormwater management plan, we have stuff like mapping our stormwater infrastructure in the county, our local source control program. We have people that go out to businesses and make sure that they don't have illicit connections that are impacting our stormwater, or you know, how to manage their waste that they're storing on site, things like that. Our capital improvements, we didn't do any last year. We were kind of reserved last year, but this year we've got Heritage Farm that we're doing a whole low-impact development. Construction right now is out for bid, but we're doing a demo area there. So people come to Heritage Farm and see what low-impact development really is on the ground. We'll have different impervious surfaces there for them to try out and that kind of thing. Assessment and monitoring. Now that we got our stream monitoring back, I have personnel that specialize in these areas come in and even do a 10 or 12-minute presentation to all of you.
Taking straight out of your, in essence, your operational manual, things that you're really doing.
Yeah.
Showing this group those things so that we have a full understanding.
Because there's
before an RFP even goes out, ideally, it's kind of like, well, we can get your feedback
and
say, what about this?
Department resident expert.
Well, and there's a number of areas, you know, where we as a department we should be very rightfully very proud of the work that we've done. We're very far ahead in terms of mapping our stormwater system, knowing where the pipes are, knowing where they go. We are a really shining example compared to, unfortunately, where some other jurisdictions are. And it's not because they're not bad, they're bad at it. It's because of the challenges they face. City of Tacoma would be a good example. We have systems that are over 100 years old. They don't even know where they go or where they start. But we are a really good example on mapping. We're a really good example on our outreach. We've just got a number of areas that we do. Really, the monitoring we do exceptional work at, and we should rightfully be proud of that and touting those achievements because they are achievements.
Paul, you had a question or comment?
So, just to understand this correctly, is the 2010, is that the last time that any kind of research was conducted as far as the watershed?
Yeah, this is the last report we produced. We actually did do this work up through 2012. So it has been a full couple of years, two and a half years, where we now have a void of data that we want to make sure and it doesn't get any bigger.
Even know what the primary pollutant thought we're looking for in the stormwater and we're trying to prevent?
Well, no, we have a good idea, a very good idea of that. And just to hit it really quick, the big three are copper, zinc, and fecal coliform.
And what?
Fecal coliforms. So, and so those are all, and so we're kind of focused on those, but we do a wider array of analytical work for, you know, a whole suite of contaminants every time we go out and do this. So basically we do have a data gap from 2012 to now that we're going to close. And by the way, I have one of our field technicians is going out to all of our monitoring sites, making sure that we got fresh batteries and we're, you know, all the equipment's functioning, and we're really looking at April, starting back in on it, and making sure that we utilize the summer season and beyond.
Cool.
Yeah, I do. I've known Director Benton long enough to know that he's a man of vision and goals and agendas. What he see happen, and he's a strong leader. And so it would be interesting to find out, really. I mean, once he comes back from the legislature, he's done with Columbia, you know, he'll be here permanently. So I would really like to, maybe I'll call him up, sit down and have my way or something, but I'd like to find out, you know, how he sees the plans that you're laying out and how that measures in what his agenda is, because he's definitely going to have a.
We talk all the time. He knows what's going on.
Well, I'm not saying he doesn't know what's going on. I'm saying that if he has a definite agenda, I think we would all like to know what that is, because that's right. And it's going to help us make sure that we're doing the targets moving into the future.
Okay.
Okay.
So perhaps I can make arrangements with Chris and Dean or whatever to put together maybe a proposed training agenda for the meetings for the balance of the year, put that together, and we'll post it in Google Docs, and that way you can take a look and give any feedback if you can cover the basics, et cetera.
Yeah.
Well,
I'd start here.
And we'll see what cut of those and see which one makes the most sense, and then take a look at that. Look at it online as well. See if it makes sense.
Yeah, and then we have the 24 hours.
Right. Yeah. So that way we've got sort of a plan for the balance of the year. So if you're looking at which meetings you might have to miss, you go, oh, I don't want to miss that one.
Yeah.
This is going to be really great.
And one more, just little thing on the education topic, the communications group that will be doing the presentations. If between now and April, if you want to find a time where we can get together, and if you want to, getting at David's point was, you know, just, you know, sort of train the trainer sort of thing. That's going to help you feel more comfortable with kind of where we're going with these presentations, I'd be happy to get together with you sometime between now and then.
So that group can set up coordination and then let us know what that might be, and if there are some others that want to sit in on it for sure, even if they may or may not be principal presenters, maybe they're backups, et cetera, then we'll make sure that everybody who has an interest is trained and just walk through. I personally, having a lot of sales and sales management background experience, I'm a very big believer in planned presentations and practicing and practicing and practicing so that you can do it in your sleep. But that's just me.
But we're an enterprise fund. You want to sell stuff? It goes right to our revenue stream.
T-shirts? We sell T-shirts at the and mugs.
Made out of silk.
Okay. Next item on the agenda is commission discussion time. Do we have any items of discussion? Great.
I just want to share, especially with the partnerships,
and that was with WSU?
Yes.
Yeah, she's bringing the card around.
And that's the second year old one, right? Yes. And by WSU. Yes. And it's very interesting, you know, when the advisor thought about the candidates coming out the room that we're working on.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Also, like,
no.
So
we have a large number of rain barrels out at Heritage Farm. A very large number of rain barrels at Heritage Farm.
Would you attend to mosquitoes?
I'll double check, but if any member is interested, I could.
Are you proposing to away the rain barrels?
No, those might be Conservation Service. That's what we didn't know.
Oh, really?
Those might be okay. their funds.
I'll double check on what we can do with those, but I'll see if you want one, we can maybe get you one.
Chris, what was your thought about what you would do with them? Would you give them out to the people in the neighborhood?
I think the idea originally was when they were conducting classes that people would get one once they did the course for their home.
Oh, for their homes?
Yes.
Okay. Now, is it true? I understand that at one time that there was a law, and it may have been repealed, where you couldn't have a... Oh, okay.
Where it was illegal to capture the rainwater because it belonged to the people.
Yes, that's right.
Yes,
it was.
It was actually illegal to do that.
Rain was considered state water. Water of the state.
Oh, contraire. What is now? All right, Marie, anything else? Okay.
Yeah, I haven't heard any resolution on that, but yeah, that's talks. Yeah.
So that might be a good idea as well. And I think we're going to get some conversation.
By the way, after almost 10 years of going to a lot of networking meetings and things like that, generally presentations should run no more than 25 to 28 minutes. because by the time they get done with all the housekeeping and all organization things and introduce the speaker, that's about what you have left. And then they also have some creative stuff. But the presentation is generally 25 to 26 in length. It's pretty standard, pretty within the organization structure of group housekeeping and business.
Anybody else anything to share about programs attended? Were you
Mark
going?
Mark and I went to that low impact design bioretention course they had at the. And so that was the first time I ever really got exposed to the design side of it. This is an intermediate class. And there was a lot of workers from Clark County and the city of Vancouver there, as well as architects, landscape architects, and even some inspectors that were trying to learn all about the. Different designs for low impact design, the low impact design for water, dealing with water coming off a runoff. So,
how long was the program?
But there's a whole certification process, I guess, involved with this. So there's a lot of classes that came through during that month of January. So that was a full day. We were there for 6-7 hours.
Wow.
So it was a lot of low impact design.
Was
so.
It useful?
I've only seen them out there, so I'd never really understood the design or how it was filtering or why you wouldn't use. I always, when I've done fringe drains, put those socks over it. You don't do that. Mm-hmm. There's a better design to use than that, so you don't, of course, block it. You know, those socks just get blocked, so it's worthless to use. But of course, talking about the copper and the zinc, and you know, in a lot of areas it's the phosphate too, and then depending on soil makeup, and if it's up north, they're glacially impacted. So this group is mostly from Seattle, so they deal a lot with glacially impacted soil. So that's different absorption rates because it's, you know, it's impacted. So
super. Yeah. Now, last summer, we did, for those who were able to make it, we spent part of the day touring some of the facilities in the county. We talked about the possibility of doing that again this year. Not during massive rain times. It was looking for a bit drier days. So since many of the people who are here now work here then, would there be an interest of, you know, assuming it would be during the week, and it would probably be a half a day, probably a morning. I just guess. Would you be interested if we were to look at planning? You could look at your schedules and see if it made sense. If it doesn't, that's fine. It's not mandatory. But I thought it was good.
Yeah.
We had a good talk. We got to walk some pretty areas. We got to understand some of the things that were being done in the projects. We talked a little about partnering with parks departments, et cetera, you know, multi-use facilities and so forth. So if there's an interest, then I'll work with the department and see if we could find a day sometime in the better, warmer, drier portion of the year to actually tour, if there's an interest.
Yes.
And again, it's not mandatory. It's entirely voluntary. So.
You know, last year they presented, you know, an idea of transformation from these, what you call prisms, you know, where you have a big fence around this into like a garden or...
Yeah, that's that low-impact design, yeah.
Low-impact stuff and finding out the progress of that and, you know, what development and what maybe is morphing out of that, that, you know, for new ideas. That would be really, really good.
We were up in, those who were there, we were up in Mount Tabor and we were looking at some of the work that had been done for catching the water runoff from the streets into their little holding units for plants, where many of the plants had died. And those remember, we actually had a gentleman come out of his home as we were standing there and engage us in quite a discussion about his irritation with the choice of plants and the soils and everything else. And it, actually, there was follow-up for the department that, that occurred afterwards, so it was good, but it was great to see something in practice here from someone who didn't think it was necessarily the best thing since lunch break. But nonetheless, it was useful. So we'll work on seeing if we can put together a morning something.
Yeah.
We used, I think, a couple of bands.
Well, we actually received bids on that already, and I think we're going to, I think they were all a little higher than we thought. But so anyway, we're kind of at that point there, but it is going to be this summer, more than likely, and then Harding Farms, we got some project work going there, but the low-impact development specific stuff will be happening at Heritage. And,
what we'll go ahead and do is certainly we'll make sure that every member is invited to that. Well, I know there's going to be something about that, and we'll look into seeing if we can get you out there, just maybe before the opening, or just right after it, so that you can, get up nicely.
Yeah, and my intent is to keep the group here up on progress too, as we're moving toward completion, so you guys kind of have an idea where we're at until the project.
Do they think that we can be as well connected as possible to the reality of things that are really going on, so that not only can we feel good about it, maybe occasionally we can make a useful suggestion, but at least we can also speak when we talk just day to day, or whether it's with groups, we can speak with some knowledge, some authority, and some enthusiasm to go with it. So it sounds like we have some opportunities for training projects for the meetings for the balance of the year, as well as maybe at least a tour or a mix of tours.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else from the commission?
Yeah, if you guys want to talk about the should be very inclusion. But where we're at with it is essentially that what we talked about that day for school is setting up a link with the Clean Water Commission, just so we can kind of keep the public updated on what's going on about things that might have happened. So the only thing is setting up a link in the account for us is that you have set it up from a personal account, which is not a big deal, but I just wanted to clarify with everyone if it was okay. On my account, I have one. I'm on LinkedIn all day for my position. I wouldn't mind kind of managing it. We can make everyone that who has a LinkedIn page, an administrator as well, they can also contribute to anything with it. So I just wanted to put that out there if you have any feeling about that, any suggestions or anything like that.
I'm just still a little skeptical about whether the public can actually go to that. LinkedIn is really for professionals, professional networking.
Yeah.
It's good from a special business perspective. Facebook, frankly, is for people in the public, though. Mm-hmm. But I know of controversy surrounds Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so I'm kind of torn. Okay. I think LinkedIn seems to be maybe an easier path to communicate if Facebook. But that's where the number goes. I'll give you an example. Clark County Public Health has a Facebook group. And that's where they communicate out to the members of the community to push different information about various different public health
groups.
Yeah. And it seems to be I subscribe to it. And that's where I get my information about some of these issues as well. So I don't know whether Facebook is still an option that Department of Water Services
yes.
Anymore. Just kind of putting it out there.
So
there's a lot of difference between a Facebook personal page and a Facebook
business page. Yes.
Or organizational
page. And I think you're talking about an organizational page, right? Not a personal page.
Not a personal.
Yeah, okay. And I think that's probably right, but, Facebook is a unique equip, to have all those different organizational pages, track them and make sure on the different pages. And so, LinkedIn tends to be, is my impression, as a small business networking, business
which I think initially we have a good idea to the number of of reaching any business owner that would be interested stakeholders into our information as well, but that you may be showing a lot of them.
I guess it depends on who the audience is that we want to
And, that's what I think can be done with both. I mean, you can have both the Facebook and the LinkedIn and the Twitter. If you're trying to communicate with a broad range, a single post gets, with your marketing background, right, you'd be perfect for it. It goes to all of those avenues and streams out there. And all the information is still hosted on the Clark page. Not necessarily. So there's not updating multiple sites.
I can go ahead. We in our solid waste division, we have a Facebook page. We also have, I think we have multiple Facebook pages. We have a new hire, Andrew Losher. I'll check with Andrew on Facebook, but my feeling is Andrew would kind of go along what I'm kind of hearing here in general, and that is, you know, yeah, do Facebook, yeah, do LinkedIn. You know, I think that...
Any way we can get the information out to the public is a good vehicle, even if, as long as, you know, as long as it's not costing a great deal to do that. And the people that are behind the social media movement will tell you that Facebook is about sloth and LinkedIn is about greed. The good is on LinkedIn is looking for that next bump up in their compensation and the next job that they're going to get. And people on Facebook are just about sharing dirty details about where they eat lunch. And, you know, and a whole bunch of other things that they do.
They can tweet it on your channel. I guess my LinkedIn, I think of it as a place for people who are, whether they're looking for their careers or make connections, network from a business standpoint. So LinkedIn to me for this type of group or organization doesn't sort of have a feel, just for me.
I
could see the possibility of a social network organization page potentially to value, but remember with that, of course, it requires the upkeep and the maintenance, keeping things fresh and corrected. And for any of you guys who have done that, staying on top of it, it's not a trivial thing. You don't want to start it and then have it go.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you just don't. You can't go stale. That really has to be the commitment moving forward to do that. So whether it's one or it's both or it's none.
Yeah, I think the challenge would be, I think all the information, important information, would still be on the Clark County site. But what would be the challenge is, if there's actually engagement, is handling the engagement of people asking questions, making sure they don't get left behind.
Because a Facebook type of page for me, or this group, is probably... principally a regurgitation of stuff that's on the county site. Mm-hmm. It's just maybe a little tweak, some links packaged back to the different. And so it's just another way to see the stuff that's on the county site.
Right.
I'm not sure there'd be that much original content.
It would be easier to deliver and to respond to that. However, I think you're exactly right. And that's why I think I'm hesitant with Facebook is that it'd be the comments. I mean, I have no problem that we, I'm no concern that we would be able to make updates enough to keep the public interested. However, commenting back, answering questions is very time consuming and issue. I think that's why I like the format, because you don't necessarily have to respond back to everyone or just like personality, but then it doesn't reach the general public. Like,
that's another kind of question, right? Is that do you want to use the vehicle as an engagement tool, or do you just want it to be a dissemination of information tool?
To the extent that you don't even allow comments on a Facebook form page.
Right.
Right. Well, you can limit comments, but you can limited comments, but it doesn't mean you have to engage with.
No, no, but I mean, you could just not allow comments.
Mm-hmm.
Or all comments have to be manually approved, that you just don't allow any comment. In other words, it would be just an outreach push.
Yes.
Okay. Just mark it, right?
You could push and write a document that's updated on the site, boom, it goes out there. Anytime there's and maybe it goes out automatically if you have a technical team that be able to make that happen. I know that there are tools under WordPress, under Square, and a number of other platforms, right, that different people use for blogging, if you will. But all blogs are not necessarily interaction tools, as Dick knows, and I certainly know, being involved in the political world. I don't want my blog to be an interaction tool with folks. I don't want to have to explain comments that are negative. I don't want to have to address comments that are overly positive. I just want to let them exist.
So I guess the overarching question is there any value in using some outreach source other than the page for the Clean Water Commission on the county site? And if so, what's the objective?
Actually, I think that we have the county site. It's probably a communications tool that people who are really interested in it will go to find out.
Certainly can be pointed there.
Yeah, I do have a question though. If we are presenting somewhere, will that be put on the site?
Will that be put on the county website?
On the Clean Water Commission?
I don't know that unless we ask for it to be, that it would.
Well,
but we could post it.
Information source.
And right. That's your point.
Well,
somebody's
not going to find it.
And if it is put there, how do... I mean, that's a challenge with websites. You have to actually go there and seek it out to find it.
Not getting emails with updates.
Right, yeah, is there a newsletter?
So like the solid waste committee.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it gives their next meeting, when they're meeting, and what, you know, they have that for us too, but we could add that as, you know, presenting at the NAC, April 11th, something like that.
Yeah.
I just don't know that... that's been the rhythm of this group as much as the Solid Waste Advisory Committee, but you probably should make it that. We need to be doing more outreach.
I noticed
stuff.
That our committee was listed in the county events, so it helps people know, you know, if they have an idea as far as water, you know, purification, sustainability, you know, how they know. I know there was a, no, I don't think so, I just got that because I'm not part of the commission now. Yeah, but our meeting wasn't. That would be
just
like, you know,
starting
point.
It does strike me, though, that if we did have a business Facebook page, we could take those posts from that page and put on our own personal pages and spread it out to, you know, all of our friends.
Oh, as in sharing.
As sharing, right. And have a much, much wider distribution than we would have if we were just posting on the county page and people that were actually.
Okay. To the extent that people do use Facebook in this commission and chose to repost or share,
sure,
then there is a multiplier effect.
Yeah.
Yes, a real
effect. In my case, yeah, I don't have but five friends. But some of you have for hundreds or thousands of friends. But anyway.
Yeah, the only other thing I see, which is please.
Sorry, we can never get
people
send it
for emails with us specifically,
and then
just
update it
every time we have a meeting.
Yeah, it's
like a newsletter. Yeah,
but that
seems
to be a little bit.
But I guess I'm going to suggest that if we're going to err, that we err on not taking on too many things that will be too intensive, require too much time, over a portion of time, just the nature of.
Keep
on,
keep all that stuff up.
Well, she looked
in
the LinkedIn side of things. But
I'm easy, please.
We're going to comment on Facebook.
So Kate's original question was, is there really an interest in doing something specifically with LinkedIn or not? That's sort of on the table. So that I thought
you had to say right now, based on what you know in the discussion, that be a yes or a no.
I think it's a newish thing in the county, and I think that there's precedent. Obviously, public health does that. I mean, they're public health agencies, so they might have had some special, kind of built-in justification for doing that. But when we do, I think there's enough precedent with other divisions in the county that, we can certainly ask the question, what makes us different? Can we get... You know, it's not like people come to the Clark County site because we got a lot of Zazzle on the site. It's a government site. Inherently, it doesn't have any. So people, Facebook's a lot more colorful in that way. So I think...
We'll check and see about whether one could actually, on Clean Water page, have the ability to sign up for notices or share your email.
I'm in favor of the proposal, but there are questions that should probably be answered first before we go barreling down the mountain. Who's going to do it? Who's going to do the work? What work needs to be done? Will the county IT people have the bandwidth if we're going to need to enlist them in that workload? Shouldn't they be engaged in the decision-making process as we're moving forward with the recommendation? And maybe some other questions that they might contribute as well. Because if, as you mentioned, that maintenance workload could become a snowball that grows bigger and bigger as it rolls down the hill, and the funding for people to do that specific kind of work may be a challenge. But if it's simply a means of disseminating information in a different venue, then it could be beneficial for homeowners that are interested in Facebook, and it could be beneficial to developers and builders that are more engaged with LinkedIn. Personally, I have an account with LinkedIn, I have an account with Facebook, and I don't go on LinkedIn very often. Probably once a month, if that, not for very long. So I don't personally see the value of that, but I can imagine where developers and builders that are always on there, or on there more frequently than I am, might find value. So that's my thought.
One of the questions for me would be, I would think that the county would either be very cautious about wanting anything of this nature to be done and or what is said on such a site. In other words, does the county really have sort of an ownership involvement role, or if they say, you're a body or group, you take care of it, hands off, or can't even say that? I mean, just get concerned about where boundaries get crossed and where they're are issues.
Yeah, there might be some issues there, I think, but you're probably right on with your last response, which is this advisory committee is choosing to do this. This is the way they want to go, and so you maintain it. It's your thing. I think the county, we have a public information officer in DES, and I think he will help that process, help, you know, get it up, interface with us as needed to kind of help get it moving along. But the heavy lifting to kind of maintain it and that kind of thing is really up to this body. It's not going to fall on him.
I would just think the county, if I'm trying to put my county hat on, would be very cautious, very almost nervous about things that could cross over that are being said on their behalf, et cetera. So there's got to be some separation, I guess.
In other words, are we proposing to add two or three line items to somebody's job description?
Or misrepresents them, right?
Yeah. If that's the case, we better address it before we get too headstrong.
Well, the county will be here to tell you what you can't do.
Yeah,
well, you don't hesitate. Yeah.
I agree with David in that point that I think that with our development of our project, you know, whether we have knowledge or teams, we don't have a sharp enough vision of what it is we're really trying to do to make a decision on this right now. It's always going to be available to implement it. I think that more discussion and more development of our goals and objectives of our teams need to be defined before we start deciding what kind of fit we're going to have to expose that to the public.
I definitely agree with that. I think because what we need to put on there is not so much, it's going to be more of what is happening.
You're entitled to your
opinion. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think what would go on there is probably of what our vision is necessarily and really what's going on with the county, like what we're going to be presenting.
I'm not saying don't do it, I'm saying it might be better to sharpen our edge before we decide.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what permits, you know, I mean, frankly, you know, would be. We had some vacancies on the commission. There were a number of us, I know, that went out to Facebook and put a note out to various groups that may have had an interest or an individual member of those groups that might have been willing or interested in participating. And I suspect that we possibly stimulated some interest in maybe submission of applications. I hope so. But those were one-offs. To do one-offs is a different thing than to try to set up something that's you know, like a resource that people will want to be engaged with.
And there has to be a freshness for things on Facebook. You have to be going there to see, oh, there what's new, and you've gone there two or three or 4 weeks and there's nothing new, and then guess where you don't go again.
Right.
And again, I said I'm not saying that for what I'm saying. Maybe we should suspend it for a little while to sharpen our objectives.
We want a clear vision of what we're going to do with it and why.
Yeah.
It's a great idea, though, because people want to be, I think the community needs to be informed about current events. You know, we can ask, you know, do we have any ideas as far as, you know, this, that, or the other thing. The community needs to be involved. And being, you know, made aware of our presentations and what we're doing them, things that they can.
Sure.
Yeah, I'd say I don't think. Yeah, I agree. We're not ready to decide tonight. That it would take some time, but I do think that the sites that we would have, whether it's Facebook, LinkedIn, whatever it would be, is not to hold the information, but it's to communicate. We're holding this event, and we're doing this thing. Trying to, if our goal is to get more people to attend this meeting, I mean, no, that way they can actually get an announcement. The day before, or the week before, not necessarily presenting policy, or maybe there's an article that gets posted on the site, or some new information. It's just a way of getting out there. And the way Facebook or LinkedIn works is it's we don't want to, we're, our site right now works where people try to actively engage it, which probably isn't much. It's like you said, it's a state site, right? It's just that all of a sudden it's in their newsfeed, whether it's on LinkedIn. Unfortunately, I probably go LinkedIn more than I want to, just because people, you know, in business, and you gotta, just like Facebook, where you have to friend them, well, then I got to add them to your network.
Yeah,
and in their network. You go through it, and I've noticed that there's a lot more social interaction on Facebook than there used to be, but I don't spend much time in there. I try to go in there as minimal as possible, but I have seen postings in there for whatever business group or whatever professional group is going on, and I'm like, oh, what's this? And I've noticed that more recently.
And it's very informative, and it spreads the word really well.
And it's kind of, and that's regional, too, with LinkedIn a bit, where it helps get more
information. And if that's the objective, the Facebook page is to provide public information on meetings and activities of this commission, I think that's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
And if we have, you know, what are activities and things like that, we're not building their bond there. It's just all open. And I don't even know why that, you know, why anybody would object to us saying, you know, we're having our meeting and this is our discussion model, and please come and if you want to, would like to participate and serve. So, and that's a clear objective. Right now, before when I spoke, I didn't really see a clear objective, but having a clear objective of information activities, what the activities of this commission are going to be, and times and places of the meeting would be a perfectly legitimate place to put. But especially on Facebook dedicated pages.
So I'm hearing resentment.
Would everyone feel comfortable with me just doing research, gathering this information, and all the communicate
through email? Sure. So if we can sort of pull together, to Gary's point, the intent. What is it we want to accomplish, and what are the best ways to do that? And if it makes sense that there is a business avenue, a social avenue, and it accomplishes X, Y, and Z, we float that chair around. So let's try to, let's talk, let's see if we can put something together that we can share between now and the next meeting, set maybe by the next meeting, as an objective to be in a position to have a sort of a good, frank discussion and say, based on what we've traded in the way of information, can we make this?
Are you signing that tonight?
Well, I'm suggesting that we do that. The question is there a particular one of our three teams? It could be a research team project, or it could be a partnership team project. So, but it depends who wants to volunteer. Does the research team have an interest in pursuing this?
Well, what about the communications team?
Well, they certainly will have input. Somebody's got to put everything sort of base together. So, but the communications team gets to work on the presentation, the trainer stuff, and so forth. I figured they were going to have some things to do between now and then. So.
Just to give you guys an example of a Facebook connection, there is a public meeting tonight that was held tonight at 5:30. With the U.S., I think it's United States Forestry or Agriculture, I can't remember, regarding the gypsy moth spraying that's going to be occurring. I looked real quick. There were over 50,000 people looking at it.
That's low for this group.
And so
we need gypsy moths in the water.
We need to threaten to spray people's yards, but I mean, I'm sorry, it was the Washington State Department of Agriculture talking about. They did this last year here out at Yakult. They had to spray for gypsy moths. There's unfortunately they're going to have to do some more. Potentially, I believe in the city of Vancouver, and they're actually going to have to do some in the city of Seattle. So that it's getting a big reaction, but I believe it was the one down here that had over 50,000 people looking at it here in the last few hours during the course of today. Mm-hmm. They've sent me three or four of these over the last few weeks.
Kate, one other thing I'll add to the
whoever's doing the research on this, I think one thing that might throw in the mix here that would help is getting Andrew Lesher, who's our person who could basically give you the county ground rules.
Losher,
yeah. Losher. And so anyway, maybe this would be a good time. You could talk to him or whomever's going to be kind of leading this charge and get kind of a sense of what the county sensitivities are as you're kind of going along here.
Absolutely.
Might be helpful.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Okay, so we got that action. Okay. Any other commission items? We do have one public session. Comment session still open. We did have someone join us. And so we will now open our second public comment session.
Just here, the same hydrologist representing.
Your name for the record?
Richard Pearland.
Richard, welcome.
And representing Friends of the East North Louis River, Fish Lake, which is the whole Louis River system, and Friends of Clark County, by the agencies, stormwater relationships, whole water spectrum, Clark County.
Does the group or the groups have regular meetings?
Some of them do, yes.
So we might suggest, as you've been listening, that we have a team that would be prepared and interested in coming out and meeting and having a chat, giving a little presentation, answering questions, and seeing. And we have, as you might have noticed, we have three working groups. We have a communications group, we have a research group, and we have a partnership group. So we'd be looking to interact in whatever fashions, speaking, partnerships, et cetera, if there's an interest in.
We'd be open to that. In the past, we've had state and federal agencies have representatives and comment offices. So we're quite open to that, particularly to the water-related thing in Clark County. And all the water relationships are changing, so we're quite really interested in that.
Okay. So when we close out the meeting, I encourage you, if you want to come up and give me your contact information, I'll make sure it's disseminated within the group, and then we can reach out and see if we can make some connections. That would be great.
That'd be great. We'd appreciate that.
Okay. Any other comments?
This work is very vital. I work all over the Western United States in water, and I think what's happening in Washington has already happened in other areas of the country in the West, and it's really important to keep concerned about the water situation in the Pacific Northwest because it's changing. And I've been involved with USGS for a long time. 15 years ago, they said they saw the problem starting to show up in northern Oregon and Washington in general. Here on the west side, you know, the east side already had it, but it's here now, and it's going to require some really careful thinking and planning to cope with what we have now, which we're finding out more about, and what we expect to come. I assume a lot of people believe that some of this already, but it's an opportunity to do something now before it really gets careful.
Well, one of the things I can suggest is that whether you or members of your group's organization, they'd like to have some time to come for this group and actually have a discussion, share some background on their group and their intent and so forth. I'm sure we would be happy to entertain them and encourage them to attend and share that so we better understand what department is our
entire state and federal. Scientists, fishermen that built a lot of different kinds of water issues and programs and that throughout the West. So I'll mention that to them. See, the first thing is to find out if your subject area or just a whole of you that you folks could visit one of our meetings.
Sure.
We appreciate that.
You mentioned things are happening now, things have arisen, concerns are now. So what concerns, what problems are you talking about?
It started very general. It's not a change already. there's major changes. You know, we can talk about that for the next 30 hours, but there's a lot of things showing up in Oregon and Washington. For example, the Forest Service has got a whole bunch of studies showing a lot of things are now changing in the forest. The ecosystems are shifting. We've got water problems. The USGS moved on a long time ago, but didn't like to talk about it. They figured everybody looked at it like they're crazy in the Northwest, because we get all the water we need, at least on the west side of the Cascades. There's a whole spectrum of things.
Well, it seems to me like there's a whole depth of things that we may not know about, but we really should know about. And, you know, if nobody's talking about them because they're afraid of being embarrassed, you know, that's
Well, we're past the threshold on that now because it's here.
What threshold?
Well, before some agencies didn't like to talk about it because the general view of the public was, well, that can't happen for us. Water pollution. We've got a lot of pollution going on.
Is that right?
On the aquifer, the streams, we've got serial, high summer temperatures, low flows that are starting to show up. These are warning signs that something's happening. Maybe it's part of a bigger picture, but we need to be more aware of these and see if there's things that we can do is to compensate for them or make sure we don't exacerbate them.
Gary, we'll reach out. We'll get his contact.
I just trying to get a little.
Sure.
You ask our reporters to get it
done. Yeah.
you may have come in after, but Dean was talking about how they have sampling systems all throughout the county, and then he went out there to change the batteries and make sure everything's working and the sampling things are working. But then you're alluding now to more problems, to deeper problems, or things that are unexpected that I think are something that probably we don't know about.
Pauline, you got to
come. Well, that's okay, because then we can point them out to start myself.
Gentlemen, Pauline, you got to come.
With what just recently happened in Detroit, and the neighboring town of Flint, the water crisis that took place there, and that's in our own country. In flowing with it, in my own thoughts and research, nobody really knew what was going to happen first. It was just there were tiny clues. The water companies jacking up the price, watching very carefully on the water usage. I've talked to a lot of homeowners. The water companies are getting more involved with use, whereas it was just willy-nilly, it was electricity. You could just use it, and if you got way over duty, you could just work out a big plan. It was like, whatever. While I'm hearing from a lot of homeowners, that's not the case now. The water companies are becoming very more involved, and people get behind on their payments, and I think that's one red flag. Just troubleshooting. But it's just going to have to be, it's like the networking and getting the community. I'm
going to
throw that
out there. Good. Back to the public comments section. So, Richard, thank you. And if I do a shared information where you shut down the meeting, I'll be sure that gets submitted. Any other comments from the public? Seeing no other comments from the public, we will close the second public comment session. Looking at the agenda, it appears that we have completed our agenda for this evening. Unless if we're missing something, is there anything else that the group wants to bring up or attend to?
Just a question of clarification for the next meeting is May 2nd.
Here comes the calendar. Wednesday, May 4th. Correct.
Where was it? I show up on
the 7th. So it should be
May 4th.
Down
the
left.
On the agenda for tonight.
Next meeting.
We'll make that change, by the way. I apologize.
Okay. Good.
Thank you.
First Wednesday of every other month.
Yes. Spelling it now. Nice. Two for two.
Anything else? Anybody else catch it? No. So, do I have a motion to adjourn?
You do.
Do I have a second?
Second.
This meeting is now closed at 8:06.